Bob Dylan, at the beginning of his career, was initially a musician who sang and accompanied himself by an acoustic guitar. And initially he started singing folk songs that evolved into what he called topical songs, what other people have called protest songs. And then on his album, Another Side of Bob Dylan, started doing more personal material, but was an acoustic-based musician, had been at the 1963 and 1964 Newport Folk Festivals, playing acoustically. And in 1965, with nobody having any expectation of him doing anything but appearing as an acoustic act yet again, he showed up with a full electric band, made up primarily of the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, and proceeded to play a very loud but abbreviated set that generated a lot of criticism, people booing him, a real mixed reaction from the crowd. And there's been an enormous amount written about it, and a lot of people have analyzed it from different directions retrospectively. He was playing a Fender Stratocaster guitar during this show, and it was something that hadn't ever surfaced. I don't think anybody had ever looked for it, but at the end of last year, I was contacted by history detectives who told me that they had some lyrics. They wanted to determine whether they were authentic or not. And I had been recommended by someone at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And when I answered their email and started talking to the producer, he explained that these were found inside of an electric guitar that Dylan had left in an airplane flown by a private pilot who was no longer with us, but his daughter was a viewer of History Detectives. And she had submitted this as a mystery to the show, to try and determine if this was in fact Dylan's guitar and if it in fact was the guitar that Dylan had played when he went electric at the Newport Folk Festival.
So you came in as an expert on the manuscript. So tell us how the manuscripts led you to the guitar.
The History Detectives people sent me some scans of the lyrics manuscripts they had found, and they sent some photographs of the guitar to Andy Babuke, who is the staff consultant at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on vintage guitars and a real expert in that stuff. The second I saw the lyrics, I thought, these are genuine. You know, you see so many real ones and so many inauthentic ones. A vast majority of the Dylan stuff people send me isn't authentic, but these just had the look of the real deal. And so I examined them very carefully and found they were primarily his kind of musings and the beginnings of songs. And in Googling all the lines on these 13 surfaces, there were 8 pages, but some were written front and back, I found that there were 3 early manuscripts for songs that he recorded for Blonde on Blonde, his 1966 album, but hadn't released. And amongst his writings, there was a phrase, the 6 white horses. And that's a phrase that appears in one of his songs that did make it to Blonde on Blonde, called Absolutely Sweet Marie. And coincidentally, I owned Dylan's manuscript of that song. So I compared that 6 white horses phrase to the manuscript of Absolutely Sweet Marie, and it was virtually a perfect match. For somebody who has incredibly erratic handwriting that changes constantly, it's rare you can find things that look exactly like other things. But in this case, those 4 words matched up virtually perfectly. And so that allowed me to say to history detectives, not only I feel these are real, but I feel these are real, and here's why. So for Andy to authenticate the guitar, you needed to have some very close-up photographs of Bob Dylan playing the guitar at Newport for him to compare to the guitar in question. And that was kind of a problem in that every photograph I'd ever seen of Dylan at Newport was black and white and taken from a distance, so you couldn't really see detail under the guitar. And the people at History Detectives turned up some extremely close-up color photographs that had been taken by a cardiologist who was 18 at the time and pressed up against the stage. And these things really were a revelation. They were very, very clear and detailed and very close-up. He couldn't have been more than 6 or 8 feet away from Dylan. And they contacted the photographer, had him make some large-scale prints, and they brought those prints and the guitar to Andy's shop, which is in Rochester, New York. A lot of people have asked, well, couldn't you just look up the serial number? but the serial number on Fender Stratocasters is on a metal plate that's held on by four screws. Those are easily changed, and having a plate with the right serial number didn't necessarily mean that that serial number went with the guitar. So the real foolproof method is to compare wood grain. And these new photographs they turned up allowed Andy to do that. And in short, he was able to identify two or three places on the guitar that had distinctive wood grain patterns that matched two or three places he could see the wood grain in these close-up photographs. And as Andy said, you know, the wood grain doesn't lie. It really is distinctive and unique to that guitar. And when you can find a photograph as clear as these were to compare the guitar to, that's the way you get the definitive determination.
Were there any other distinguishing features about the guitar that make it stand out or that make it easier to spot?
Well, Andy thought it was important to take the guitar apart to see first whether it could be confirmed as a guitar that dated from before the Newport Folk Festival. Obviously, if it wasn't, that meant it couldn't be real. And second, to see if any work had been done on it. And he got permission to take it apart and disassembled the entire guitar, and he was able to tell from the tension on the screws and some distinctive telltale signs, I don't know what they are, not being a guitar expert, that this guitar had never been taken apart. And in fact, there was a stamp on the inside of the neck that said May 2nd, 1964, which meant that it had been made, you know, about a year and a quarter prior to the Newport Folk Festival and was completely original.
So the official recommendation from the assembled team of experts was that this was the same guitar as was photographed
Absolutely.
On stage. Okay. But the plot still had some thickening to do. Tell us about how word came to you that Bob Dylan disagreed with that opinion.
Well, there was a spoiler alert media embargo. Last Thursday, Rolling Stone and the New York Times were going to break the story that, yes, indeed, this was the Dylan guitar. The writer at Rolling Stone had been pressing Dylan's management for a comment. One hadn't been forthcoming, and 24 or so hours before that story was supposed to break, Dylan's lawyer sent out a media alert that said, this is not the Newport guitar. Bob Dylan owns the Newport guitar, and in fact, Bob remembers driving to the Newport Folk Festival, but some other guitars that Bob owned, similar ones, were stolen at the time, as were some lyrics.
According to the story, though, that you had heard from the pilot's daughter, what was the chain of events after the Newport concert that led to this guitar being left behind?
Well, the notion of how Bob got to the Newport Folk Festival isn't relevant to this. That was the first time he played this guitar in public, not the last. And in fact, the next electric show he played was at Forest Hills Tennis Stadium in New York, and that was about 3 or 4 weeks after the Newport Folk Festival. And in fact, he's pictured playing this same guitar at that show. So clearly Dylan played this guitar after Newport. I've got enormous respect for Bob Dylan. It's my personal opinion that in this case, he's wrong. As Andy said, the wood grain doesn't lie. And without these photographs, it would be anybody's guess whether this was the same guitar, but these things are so detailed and up close. Andy, who is a world-class expert, was able to say, I am 99.9% certain this is the same guitar, and I'd stake my reputation on it.
With the positive identification of the guitar, what was the price tag that was then attached to that instrument?
Well, they said $300,000 to $500,000 in the History Detectives show.
And if it appeared in your record mecha shop, would you agree with that number?
I'd price it higher.
Jeff, tell me, what do you walk away from this experience with?
It's a remarkable discovery for this show. I guess in 10 years, they've never come up with anything as valuable or historically significant, and they've come up with a lot of important artifacts. And in the Dylan community, this is big, big news. You know, that is a very mythologized, argued about, much debated appearance. People 47 years later continue to argue about whether Dylan was booed, whether it was mixed. And I find it kind of ironic and fitting that here we are 47 years later and the issue of the guitar is likewise surrounded by controversy and mystery and intrigue.
You can see the rock music episode of The History Detectives on our webpage. Just look for the Play PBS page at azpm.org. The History Detectives airs every Tuesday at 8 p.m. on PBS Channel 6.